Oh, you may have heard the phrase, if you count a tree's ring, you can determine its age. But did you know that the radioactive tree rings also reveals Earth's history of unexplained radiation storms? Rather than looking to the planets and stars, we can look to the forests of Earth to understand the history of radiation storms from space. Here to help us understand how trees can reveal more about radiation storms, Dr. Benjamin Pope, lecturer in astrophysics at the University of Queensland. How are we doing,
Hello,
Benjamin?
Happy to be here.
Good to have you on. So, could you please tell us first, what is a radiation storm?
Well, we don't know. That's the issue. So, tree rings record radiocarbon, that is carbon-14, radioactive carbon, that's produced in the atmosphere by radiation striking the Earth. And so because you can, you know, date the annual years of a tree rings, right, as you said in your introduction, you can figure out an annual record of radiation striking the Earth by measuring the carbon-14 content. Now, we don't know what they are, but on six occasions in the last 10,000 years, there have been huge spikes of radiation coming from space, making their way into radiocarbon in the Earth's atmosphere and into tree rings. And so these radiation storms, or these Miyake events, as we call them after their first discoverer, we don't know what they are, and that's what I set out to study.
So how do radiation storms affect the trees?
So how do they affect the trees? You get radiation striking the Earth's upper atmosphere. It turns nitrogen into carbon-14, which we can measure with sensitive instruments. And this filters through the entire Earth system, through plants and animals, you and me, the atmosphere and the oceans, and into tree rings. Now, it doesn't affect you or me or tree rings very much at all biologically. You can only measure a slight change in composition of the carbon. It's a minute fraction. But because you can measure it so precisely, it's this great record of these huge radiation events.
So, and how can we measure and analyse the radiation in trees to understand the history of radiation storms?
Yeah, so we use these carbon-14 measurements, and we find that there were these huge spikes in carbon-14 production in a few years. For example, the most recent one was in 993 AD, so in the medieval period. This is really cool. We can see all sorts of other things in the radiocarbon record. We can see evidence of the 11-year solar cycle. So there's this 11-year cycle of active sun with lots of sunspots and inactive sun without a lot of sunspots. We can see that because the sun's magnetic field protects us from cosmic rays. So when the sun's very active, we get very little carbon-14 production. And when it's very inactive, we get a lot. And so this measurement sort of encodes all sorts of interesting information about space. But we don't understand all of the information it contains, like these Miyake event spikes.
So you've been doing some work on these Miyake events. Mm. So could you tell us a little bit more about them and sort of what effect that they had on, you know, wildlife, humans at the time?
Well, we have no idea. That's the thing. And so these radiation storms are only recorded in radioactive isotopes that were produced. So not just carbon-14 in tree rings, but also other isotopes like chlorine and beryllium that end up in ice cores. So you can see in ice cores, which also, because you have like an annual snowy season in Antarctica or Greenland, in ice cores from those years, you get deposition of beryllium or chlorine, which syncs up with this carbon that we can measure in the tree rings. But we still have no idea what physically these events are. So people have proposed maybe a nearby supernova or gamma ray burst, maybe an explosion on the surface of a neutron star called a magnetar burst. There's not a lot of evidence for these. Probably the biggest theory that people accept is that this is a huge solar super flare. Now, this could be a really serious problem. So the biggest solar flares already cause damage to power grids and satellites, right? The biggest ever solar flare was the Carrington event in 1859, and it took out telegraph wires. It was really, really powerful. We were very fortunate we didn't have a lot of technology back then. If the Carrington event happened today, it would take out power grids of all the high latitude countries like Canada and, you know, Russia and places like that. It would also really damage undersea internet cables and also satellites. So what's really scary is the amount of particles we got from the 774 AD Miyake event is was about 80 times bigger than the Carrington event. It was huge. And so if one of those occurred today, it could cause untold damage to technology, if this is our correct interpretation of the data. Now, that's why I said what I set out to study, right, is we don't know what these events are. We don't know their physics. We've got to figure that out because it's a really serious risk. If these can go off, and if there are completely plausible theories that it's something like a solar super flare, that's a really dangerous risk to technology. They're very, very rare. They occur maybe once every 1,000 years, right? You know, that's purely from our estimate from there were 6 in 10,000 years and they show no pattern, right? And so let's say it's once in 1,000 years because, you know, between you and me, there's a couple of other events that have been discovered but not published. That makes it about a 1% chance per decade of this risk, right? Just that simple calculation. And so imagine if you'd only ever seen geological evidence of earthquakes, but you never experienced one. You'd be a bit scared, right? You wouldn't know what could possibly happen to you. You wouldn't know how to mitigate this risk. You wouldn't know how to model it. You wouldn't know how to build infrastructure to be resistant to it. You'd only just know that a really, really energetic possible event could occur on the Earth, and it could cause you harm.
And so this is why studying such things is really important, right?
Yeah.
Well, Benjamin Pope, thank you very much for coming on. It was really interesting to chat about that. Sort of wider implications that I was sort of expecting from that story. Yeah. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Benjamin Pope telling us about how trees can help us understand radiation storms and hopefully avoid having some pretty serious technological issues in the